This is DW News live from Berlin. The bartering begins. Britain's prime minister makes an offer on the rights of EU citizens after Brexit. Theresa May says people from EU countries will be given the right to live and work in Britain under certain conditions. Some EU leaders are welcoming that proposal. Others are less impressed. And it is exactly 1 year since Britain voted to leave the EU. How does the country feel about that today? Our correspondent talks to both Brexiteers and Remainers. I'm Brian Thomas. A very warm welcome to the show. European leaders have gathered in Brussels for the second day of an EU summit. Today, leaders are expected to discuss economic growth, trade, security and migration. Now, day one of the summit was dominated by the discussion surrounding Britain's exit from the European Union. British Prime Minister Theresa May proposed a deal that would enable all EU citizens who've been living in the UK for 5 years or longer to remain after Brexit. Arriving at the summit on Friday, Theresa May described the offer to guarantee the rights of foreigners living in Britain as very fair and very serious.
I want to reassure all those EU citizens who are in the UK, who've made their lives and homes in the UK, that no one will have to leave. We won't be seeing families split apart. This is a fair and serious offer. And I want to give those EU citizens in the UK certainty about the future of their lives, but I also want to see that certainty given to UK citizens who are living in the European Union.
Let's go live now to Brussels and our correspondent Georg Mathis following this for us. Georg, what's been the reaction to Theresa May's offer for EU citizens? Is it being seen as a concession from Britain, an early one, as negotiations kick off?
It's basically seen as a step in the right direction. I think that is the conclusion that most leaders have drawn here. Jean-Claude Juncker, the head of the European Commission, however, made clear it is not sufficient. A lot more details still need to come to light about what it means for family members that will still come to the UK. How are they affected? So a lot of open questions still. And of course, the real contentious issues that are still to come in the negotiations have not been answered. And I think the Austrian Chancellor gave an interesting response when we put to him that Theresa May looked rather sad as she left the meeting yesterday, here the EU summit yesterday, so that the chief Brexit negotiator Michel Barnier could give leaders his opinion. And his interpretation of why she looked so sad was that probably it dawns on her that the economic consequences for the UK leaving the EU will be very, very tough.
Okay, well, the British leadership is, of course, looking to get the best deal it can. But what about the EU? What's its top priorities in these negotiations?
Our top priority, Brian, is exactly the same. They hope to get the best deal for the other 27 EU member states. Now, they'll be looking at three things in this, what they called phase one. And one is citizen rights. That is, has already been addressed and everything going according to plan there. The second thing is a much more contentious issue, is avoiding a hard border between the Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland. And then, of course, a crucial question, the Brexit bill. And the Austrian Chancellor here said he believes this will be a lot more contentious, and he has some clear interests that Britain here pays for the long-term commitments that the country has committed itself to.
You know, Georg, along with Theresa May, the most closely watched politician at the summit is probably the French President Emmanuel Macron. He says he wants to redefine Europe. What are his plans?
If you're looking for a Macron effect, if you want, you could already observe that yesterday quite a bit. A lot of leaders grouping up around him, everyone keen to meet the French president. Currently, the countries in Eastern European countries are having a bilateral. And if you want to look for a Macron effect, also, you could see that when you look at the defense fund, an idea, a French-German idea that he put forward yesterday, and that found strong support even from the UK. It took a mere 5 minutes until leaders could agree. And today they will talk about trade. And here Macron sees the EU as a crucial part to solve the problems that globalization has put forward. So he sees the EU rather as an answer to the problems of globalization rather than part of the problem.
Okay, Georg, thanks so much for bringing us up to date as day two of the EU summit continues in Brussels. Well, it is exactly 1 year since the people of Britain voted to leave the EU. The result of that referendum sent shockwaves not just throughout the UK, of course, but across Europe. So what's the mood in Britain 1 year on? Our London correspondent, Birgit Maas, sent us this report.
I want to stay in the EU.
He might look like the British Foreign Secretary, but Drew Goldrin is decidedly anti-Brexit. He's campaigning with other Londoners to keep Britain in the European Union.
Could talk our way back into the EU.
His goal?
Have another referendum and put the question again to the British people. Leave won the previous referendum on the basis of lies told by Leave campaign.
Brexit will damage the UK.
Most of the people in this group, including Gareth Williams, an IT consultant, only got involved in the issue after last year's referendum. Now he's out three times a week.
You know, basically saying, look, we're here, we're not going away, you know, our voice still counts.
It's the process isn't over. It's still going to be nearly another 2 years.
But this group of activists is hardly representative of the wider public, and it hasn't been easy winning people over. Opinion polls suggest most Brits who voted to leave the EU last June haven't changed their minds.
There isn't any evidence of any clear, major, significant change in the balance of opinion. This is a country that divided over Brexit, and this is a country that's still divided over Brexit 12 months later.
Voters in Romford, on the eastern outskirts of London, overwhelmingly favoured Brexit in last year's vote. Tony Geary is just as anti-EU now as he was then.
There's too many people in this country. Don't matter what colour, what race, what size they are. There's too many people, and we've got to stop more people coming in because we'll sink.
Halting immigration seems more important than the possible economic consequences of Britain's leaving the EU. Some traders are already dealing with higher wholesale prices.
I've lost out slightly, but in the longer run, I think it's for the benefit of the country and for me as a business.
But even some Brexiteers in Romford are getting anxious about the Prime Minister's negotiating tactics.
It's just going to be a hard fight. It ain't going to be as easy as they thought. And I don't think she'll have to go by the situation. No deal. We pull out. She's got to be a little bit softer, but not too soft.
The front lines have not shifted that much. But the battle over Europe is far from over.
Great. It's to the US now, where Senate Republicans have unveiled a proposal to replace Obamacare, the former president's health care law. Republicans are saying their proposal will give Americans more freedom when choosing health care, but opponents are saying it will leave millions uninsured.
Protesters gathered at Washington, D.C.'s Ronald Reagan Airport. Many here believe the bill offers a tax cut for the wealthy, coming at the expense of the poor.
Well, we're hoping to catch all of these senators on their way home. Before they get home, we'd like to remind them of what's waiting for them. More protests, more requests for town halls, and more calls.
The bill has the support of U.S. President Donald Trump. He pledged on Twitter to make it really special. This despite reports that he recently called a similar Republican health care bill mean in private.
Right there. Meaner.
Meanwhile, the Democrats are strongly opposed to the Republican plan, and their leaders aren't holding back with criticism.
Every American should be asking their Republican senators one simple question this weekend. Why do the wealthy deserve a tax cut more than we deserve health care?
The Republicans enjoy just a small majority in the Senate, so every vote counts as they try to overcome the unified opposition from Democrats. The challenge for Republican leaders is that at least four of their senators aren't ready to support the bill. They say the plan doesn't go far enough.
We cannot support the current bill. We're open to negotiation, but we want the bill to look more like a repeal.
Nonpartisan estimates hold that repealing Obamacare could mean 23 million Americans will lose their insurance coverage, something these protesters aren't prepared to let happen without a fight.
It's to Qatar now, where a crisis is deepening after four of its Persian Gulf neighbors imposed a blockade, accusing the government of supporting terrorism. Saudi Arabia, Bahrain, the United Arab Emirates, and Egypt have now issued a list of serious demands to end the dispute. Now, this is what they want. They want Doha to curb diplomatic ties to Iran, close its diplomatic missions there, and also to cut off any joint military cooperation it might have with Tehran. Now, they're also demanding the closure of the TV network Al Jazeera, which provides lots of news, and other Doha-funded news outlets. The Al Jazeera news broadcaster is immensely popular with many Middle Eastern viewers, but has been condemned by the region's hardline rulers. Now, also on the list, terminating the Turkish military presence in Qatar and ending any joint military cooperation with Turkey inside Qatar. Now, Turkey has been backing Doha throughout the three-week crisis. The four nations are also demanding that Qatar stop funding organizations that they have designated as terrorist groups, and they say Doha is supporting. These groups include the Muslim Brotherhood, so-called Islamic State, and Al-Qaeda. Now, Doha has been given just 10 days to comply with these demands. Let's go over now to an Iraqi journalist joining us now here in the studio, Amir Massawi. You've been covering this region extensively for us, Amir. Thanks for being with us. What's behind these Arab demands that are coming in? They're very serious.
We are now in the day that all the Arab states rethink about their strategy, their politics in the region. Look what happened in Islamic State in Iraq and Syria. And everyone looking for a new role in this game. I think Qatar played in the past a huge role in that game in the Arab world and also in Islamic world. Also, although she has a small country, this does not like Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia argue that they are leading the Islam countries and Arab countries, and this could be complicated in the future.
Is there any truth? Is there anything to support the Saudi allegations that Qatar is supporting Islamic State, for example?
Everyone supports some kind of groups in Syria and Iraq. Both of the countries, Saudi Arabia, support some Ahrar al-Sham. Qatar support other groups. In the end of the day, everyone looking for his politic demand in Syria and in Iraq. And it surprised me, to be honest, in this time, everyone say you support that and you don't support that. In the end of the day, what Mr. Trump did in the last summit in the Gulf, this is the spark of that conflict.
Okay. What do you think? Where does the U.S. stand on this? Would Donald Trump be backing these type of severe demands coming from the four Arab states?
The man standing behind and watching what's going on from development. I think in the end of the day, we will see a significant development in the U.S. policy against that conflict. And in the end of the day, we will find a solution in interest of United States.
Okay, now this has a real danger of spiraling very quickly. Turkey has already rejected calls to shut down its base in Qatar. What's it likely to do? What's Ankara looking at here?
Well, Turkey support the ex-Qatar, Turkey, Saudi Arabia support Egypt, Saudi Arabia, Emirates. I think the situation will be complicated in the end of the year when we will not find any more IS in the territory, IS in Iraq and Mosul, and everyone will follow his interests in the area. Turkey will be a very important partner in this game.
Briefly, if you could, do you think Al Jazeera will be shut down?
I don't think so, because they invest a lot of money and they invest a lot of politic support. I think Jazeera will exist, will still exist, and we'll be reporting about Arab countries.
Amir Massawi covering the region for us. Thanks so very much, Amir.
Thank you.
We have time for a quick reminder of our top story at this hour. The British Prime Minister has promised to protect EU citizens living in the UK after the country's exit from the European Union. At Thursday's summit, she said they will not be forced to leave the country. That's all we have time for. Thanks so much for being with us.